agree with Brother Nate. It has been a beautiful service so far, and so please pray that I won't blow it. So to that end, take your Bibles. Take your Bibles, please. You can never blow it if you start with Scripture. And open your Bibles together, please, to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And as you're opening there, we need to put the dads on the spot. Dads, please stand up. All right. Come on, dads. Stand up. There you go. And we are going to say, by our clapping, thank you, fathers, for what you do. Have a seat. Today's message is entitled, The Golden Rule in Parenting, Part 1. I don't know if I put the Part 1 in there. Did I put that in there? No. But you can add that. Because today is just going to be Part 1, next week is Part 2, of The Golden Rule and Parenting. And I want to say to you fathers who brought your kids to church today, and or to you grandfathers who brought your kids or grandkids to church today, that is a great start. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. The pillar and support of the truth. And I can tell you this, if there's one thing that your children desperately need to hear and know and understand in order to live well in this life and the next, it is God's truth. So you dads who teach your children God's truth, who bring them to church to that end, praise the Lord, you are doing the right thing. And this week and next, we are going to talk about Christ's golden rule as it applies in specific to parenting. But to get there, we need to talk about the golden rule first. So take a look in your Bibles. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. The context here, of course, is Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, speaking to his disciples and to all of us, says this. And I'm actually going to give you the King James Version rendering. I think it renders it the best. Matthew 7:12 says this. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That is the golden rule. And on the one hand, this is about a rule that should guide all of your relationships. It should guide your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your brothers and sisters, and yes, your relationship with your children. There are really two things I want you to see this week and next as we go through it, and it's for your own good, and it's for the good of everyone in your life. And in particular, I have in mind your own children. And the first thing I want you to see mainly this morning is the gold of the golden rule. Why do we call this the golden rule? What is so precious, so valuable about this rule? Why is it so great? And why should you treasure it in everyday life, in every relationship in life, but especially, why should you apply this to parenting? And then the second thing I want you to see is how to apply the golden rule. First, the gold of the golden rule. And second, how to apply it in parenting. Again, for the sake of your kids and their kids and really generations to come. So let's consider first the gold of the golden rule. What is so great about this? We've grown up with it. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. But have you really thought about why it's so great and so valuable? Let me give you some answers, at least a handful of answers. To the question, why is this the golden rule? Why is it so precious? What is the gold here? Number one, it's simple. Christ's golden rule for us is simple. It's so simple you can teach it to your children, and you should. And many children really do know it one way or another. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. For example, and I'll bet that you're teaching your kids the golden rule like this. Ready? For example, now Billy, was that nice? How would you like it if your sister buried your G.I. Joe in the sand? You wouldn't like that, would you? Now, what is that? You're teaching the golden rule by simply saying, now how would you like it if someone did that to you? Now, Billy, go unbury her Barbie, hand it back, apologize, say you're sorry, and if you grew up in my family, now kiss and make up. That was always the worst part. But oftentimes, we teach the golden rule by example. When one of the children does something they ought not to have done, we say, now how would you like it if someone did that to you? That's how simple the golden rule is. Really, you can teach it by means of a question. You can teach it by means of illustrations and examples in everyday life. This is the gold of the golden rule. Now, how many of you grew up in a household where you were taught the golden rule? How many of you? Wow. Okay, not everybody, apparently. I would even dare to say the golden rule is part of God's law written on our hearts. I have seen missionary videos where they go overseas, they write out a language for the people, and they teach them the Bible, and they say, we knew that what we were doing was wrong. I even saw in one video, we knew what we were doing was wrong because we didn't want it done unto us. The golden rule is simple. Second, why is it the golden rule? Because it's universal. It's universal. Now listen again. Here's the King James Version rendering. I got to get back to it because I'm actually holding my King James, or my New King James Bible. But it says it this way in the King James: therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now that last line alone tells you this is universal. I mean, this is the law in a nutshell, and it's the prophets in a nutshell. It's the law in a sense that this sums up all the instruction, the Torah of God. It's the prophets in a nutshell in that the prophets were always calling people back to this. If you read all the prophets, they're constantly calling God's people to turn back to God and his ways and constantly calling them to treat people rightly, right? Show mercy and justice. Do what is right. It's universal. Of course, some of your Bibles say, in everything, therefore, right? And that, too, tells you this is a universal rule. So when does it apply? Always. Where does it apply? Everywhere. You can get this one, I'll bet. With whom does it apply? Everyone. In what circumstances does it apply? All of them. Every single day, in every circumstance you're in every relationship that you have, the golden rule applies. It's universal. It applies to all your dealings in all your relationships with your aging parents, your growing children, your beloved spouse, your wonderful coworkers and boss and neighbors, and your not so wonderful coworkers, boss, or neighbors. In all of those, it applies. As I was working on this week, I had an appointment with my doctor, and so thank you for your prayers. I'm so happy to be back preaching with a only slightly nasal twang. But I had a doctor's appointment this week, follow up on my nose surgery, and on the day of the appointment, I was not a very happy camper. I was really stuffed up, and I just thought, oh. But I thought, I was working on this message, and I thought, all right, I need to put myself in my doctor's shoes and think about, how would I want my patient to treat me? And so here's what I came up with. Of course, when you know how it is. You go to the doctor's office. First you wait in the waiting room, and then you go and wait in another room. And you're just waiting for the doctor to come in. And I figured that when the doctor came in, he would probably say, what? How are you doing? I mean, I just figured that, and it was. Just figured that's going to be the first question. So I thought, well, I don't want to say, well, I ain't too happy. Can't you hear? I was hoping you'd give me an Elvis voice or something. So here's what I said. He said, how are you doing? I said, I am happy to see you. And I am hopeful that you can help me. And right away he said, oh, aren't things going real well? And I said, well, you know, I'm still pretty stuffed up. And you know what? That was the beginning of a really good doctor-patient conversation. It really went well. I told him how thankful I was that he took my case. I probably have told you the story about how that came about. He responded to an email of mine at 9 o'clock at night. I was very thankful for how he did the surgery. He's been great throughout. Okay? So I really was happy to be there, and I really am hopeful that better days are ahead. The golden rule applies to every circumstance. It's universal. This is why it's gold. Third, and this is really interesting. Pay attention, okay? It's simple, it's universal, and it's third, anti-hypocritical. It's anti-hypocritical. Did you notice the word therefore in Matthew 7:12? It should be in every single translation. No matter what translation you're holding, I hope that the word therefore is there. And we always ask, what's the therefore, therefore? Well, therefore tells you that there is a flow of thought here, and the key interpretive question is, what is the flow of thought? How does this connect? And I will tell you, it connects back to the beginning of the chapter. Take a look at 7:1. Judge not that you not be judged. Now, how many of you like to be judged? Quick show of hands, you really like it when people judge you. Are my eyes failing? I see not a hand in the room. Yeah, none of us like that, right? So on the other side, we could say, be merciful to others in order that mercy would be shown to you. That would be treating others the way you want to be treated. Here it's stated negatively, judge not that you be not judged. Verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. You know what this is? This is addressing one of the main problems that we all have in our interpersonal dealings. You know what it is? We judge each other. We do it all the time, right? When we do that, but we're guilty ourselves, what does Jesus say, verse 5? Hypocrite. It's hypocritical, right? For example, man, this morning I tried this with the men in the preaching class. Man, I wish people would. And somebody said, drive better. Now, what's the golden rule? You should drive better. Right? The golden rule is not to judge the person who is tailgating you. The golden rule is, don't you be one who tailgates. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you ever gotten right up on somebody's bumper? I've actually had it happen. Only Dan, honest Dan. I've done that. We've probably all done it, right? All right, here's one. I guarantee we'll get you on this one. You know how there's a sign of a right lane closed ahead. The right lane is closed ahead. So everybody's supposed to be working their way over right. And now there's this big lineup in the left lane. And you say, I wish people would stop butting in line. How many of us have ever butted in line? Pastor Dan and I. A lot of us have butted in line, right? But this rule is anti-hypocritical, right? We know that Christ is against hypocrisy. Jesus says, therefore, verse 12, all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do even so unto them. Do you think kids ever see it where the folks are complaining about other drivers, but then they see how the folks drive? Yeah. I've actually been in the car where somebody goes, I can't believe how people drive. And then I was gripping my fingernails into the dashboard thinking, me too. How about this one? I wish people wouldn't backseat drive. Ever been a backseat driver? You might want to slow down here. It gets really honest. You might want to slow down here. Right? The golden rule would say, if you don't like it when people backseat drive, don't be one yourself. That's very hard to do when it's your son and he's driving 45 in the 25. Then I think there's a different verses apply to that one. This rule is anti-hypocritical. It's against hypocrisy. And none of us truly wants to be a hypocrite. Right? None of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who love the Lord, none of us wants to be guilty of hypocrisy. The golden rule. It's simple, It's universal. It's anti-hypocritical. Fourth, it's equitable. What does that mean? It's fair. It's fair. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. Now, I want you to stop there and think about that for a second. That is calling us to stop and think about all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to or for you. To or for is could be either way, all right? It's not do to you like something bad. It's do for you. Treat how you'd like them to treat you. But stop and think about it. And I think that all of us would agree with this line. This is just a sampling, right? Man, I wish people would be nice, kind, patient, gracious, forgiving, understanding, encouraging, loving, and pick up after themselves, their kids, and their dogs. Do I hear an amen? All right? But what's the application? Make sure that you are nice to others, kind, patient, gracious, forgiving, understanding, encouraging, loving, and picking up after yourself, your kids, and your dogs. That's the golden rule. And that's just a real quick summary of some examples. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, and the word always is implied. Be nice, be kind, be patient, be forgiving, be encouraging. Or don't be unkind, don't be impatient, don't be mean, don't be unforgiving or unloving, don't leave your stuff laying around everywhere, and don't not pick up after your dog. Why? Because you don't want people to be that way with you. Follow the golden rule. It's simple, it's universal, it's anti-hypocritical, and it's equitable. It's fair. And fifth, I told you at least a handful, right? Fifth, it's applicable to everything, including parenting. But you must be careful. It's applicable to everything, including parenting. But you must be careful. You see, the golden rule can be misunderstood and therefore misapplied, especially when people are in differing positions of authority. When Christ says here in 7:12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. What if you are in a different position of authority? For example, let's say that you are a judge in a courtroom, and you're a Christian, and you've just heard a great message on the golden rule. And you think, well, I would like people in the courtroom to treat me as the judge, as the one with the authority to make decisions here. I know, how shall I treat the criminals? I will treat them as the ones with the authority to decide, and let them decide their own case. Wait, does that sound right? No, that sounds wrong, and it is wrong. That is a misunderstanding. It's actually quite common. It's a misunderstanding of the golden rule. By the way, there is no better rule. These days, there's a big thing going around, the platinum rule, that says treat others as they wish to be treated. I will explain later why that's not biblical, and it's not platinum or gold. It's junk. Sometimes parents make this mistake, and they try to put themselves in the shoes of the kid, and they make mistakes about how they treat their kids, okay, dads. They think, well, or they think this way, according to the flesh. I like people to let me do whatever I want, whenever I want. So if I apply that to my children, I should let the kids do whatever they want, whenever they want. A child left to himself is a grief to his mother. That's a proverb, right? I like to be left alone. I know, I'll just let my child to him or herself. No. The golden rule requires a couple of things for proper application. One is, and catch this, one is that you put yourself in the other person's shoes. And number two, it requires that you think biblically. When it says this is the law and the prophets, part of it is, yes, a summary, but you need to think biblically in order to have it rightly applied. When he says all things whatsoever ye would, that men should do to you, the guide is to be the Word of God in both of those. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, that's good, wise, right, biblical. Even so do ye also to others, that which is good, wise, right, and biblical. Does that make sense? So you have to be careful when you apply this to parenting. So let me help you dads and moms with a general application of the Golden Rule, and next week we will get into specifics. General application of the Golden Rule. You ready? It requires two things. Number one, put yourself into your child's shoes and then think, what would I want my parents to be or to do for me according to the Word of God? And here's a general answer. You ready? You would want your parents to be the best Christian parents ever. If you're thinking biblically, you wouldn't come up with anything less than that. And you know what? You are the best Christian parents they'll ever have because they aren't getting any others. Right? So if you were to apply the Golden Rule to parenting, or dads, if you were to apply the Golden Rule to you as a dad, you should come up with, I want to be the best Christian dad my kids could ever have. That would be the Golden Rule. Because you know what? If you were in their shoes and you were thinking biblically, that's what you'd want. You'd want you to be the best Christian dad they could ever possibly have. Now, next week, I'm going to help you think that through, but homework for you fathers, homework. I want you to try to come up with a list of things that you would do for your children that would be fulfilling the Golden Rule, that would be towards you being the best Christian dad that they could ever have. And this is the goal of the Golden Rule. It requires this, right? I mean, it's simple on the one hand, and it's universal, it applies to everything, and it's anti-hypocritical. If you come up with a list and you do it, you're not going to be a hypocrite father, okay? And it's equitable, it's fair, and it's certainly applicable, but it's not that easy, right? You actually have to put yourself in the other person's shoes and try to think biblically about what you would want. Well, I said a handful, right? But you knew that I was going to add two more. So two more in closing. We have so far that it's simple, it's universal, it's anti-hypocritical, it's equitable, it's applicable, and number six, it's not optional. There's one verb in Matthew 7:12, and it's two letters, and it begins with D. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do. That's it. It's a present tense verb. It means do that consistently, actively, for the rest of your life. This is righteousness, right? The overall Sermon on the Mount is all about righteousness. And Jesus said to his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, with this Golden Rule, is establishing a high and holy standard for righteousness. And it is a righteous thing for all of us to strive to apply the Golden Rule in every day of life and every circumstance. So it's not optional. But seventh, and praise God for this one. Seventh, it's not the gospel. And yet it is. What do I mean by that? Well, it's not the gospel. You can't keep this. You're not going to fulfill this perfectly. You're still going to have times where you say, I wish people wouldn't tailgate, and then you tailgate. Or I wish people would drive better, and then you're driving recklessly. It's going to happen. We're going to fail. We are not going to be righteous in our deeds. On the other hand, it is the gospel. You know why? Because God in heaven could see that none of us could keep it. And God did what all of us are so thankful that he did. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the Savior for sinners. Don't you wish that people would show you mercy? the God of heaven, who has every right to pour out wrath in justice, showed us mercy. Christ came into this world and lived a perfect, sinless life, always obeying the golden rule in every circumstance and in every relationship. You know how that's the gospel? As soon as you become a believer in Jesus Christ, all the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to your account, and God sees you as perfectly righteous. Christ paid the price for all of our sins against the golden rule on the cross. Christ rose up from the dead that we might be justified in the sight of God. Christ ascended into heaven and even now is at the right hand of the Father praying for us as we fail to keep the golden rule. And soon Jesus Christ is coming again, and everyone who has ever believed in him receives forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life in heaven. We will go to heaven who have trusted in Christ. So it is the gospel because Christ kept it on our behalf. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. Praise God for the golden rule and for Christ keeping it for us. Well, I know there's much more to go, much more to say. We'll close there because I think we've got another testimony before we close. And Nate, I'm going to come to you and say, did I blow it? Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for the golden rule. It's so good. And we pray, Father, that you would help us day to day to abide by it in all of our relationships. Help us, Father, to be kind and to be loving and gracious and merciful and forgiving of one another, not to judge. But also, Father, help us to do all the things that we would desire others would do for us. And Father, if there's anyone in this place today who is without Jesus Christ, who doesn't know him, whose sins are still being carried around like a heavy weight, I pray, Father, that today might be the day of salvation for that lost soul this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.